Yo, 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 welcome to Crate 808, and today we have a very special guest on board, a man whose funk's richer than your regular reek, and who eats bowls of lightning bolts a la mode, while penning prose that sounds sweeter than a Toblerone. He's the man rolling on his own like the elm tree tricycle, who fee-fi-fo-fums at the small fries, who caught wind how his mind's open as both eyes. Yes. Nice. Yes, it's the guy who keeps a toolbox in his tube socks and a boombox full of moon rocks. One of my favorite rappers going, man. We've got Angel in the house, professionally known as Homeboy Sandman. How you doing?
I'm chilling, man. You know, that was a great introduction, yeah.
Oh, thank you, man.
Thank you for that introduction.
Mate, it's all you, bro. It's all you. It's these little gems you've been spilling over the however many years that we just catch on as fans, man. So appreciate it, bro.
No, down indeed, man.
So I was going to kick off. I know you had an album out 2020. We want to talk about that. It's your first time on the pod, man. So I just want to ask you a question I ask every guest who comes on, Angel, man. What's the least hip-hop thing you've done in the last 24 hours?
Dag, in the last 24 hours, the least hip-hop thing I've done?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I did my dishes recently. That's kind of hip-hoppy, I guess, though. I mean, what's not very hip-hoppy?
That's a good question.
In the last 24 hours? I mean, I've been home in the last 24 hours. I left a little bit last night, but I had two orders of air fries last night from the fuel. But that's, I don't know, non-hip-hoppy? Dang, I only got a 24-hour window.
Yeah.
That really comes to mind in the last 24 hours. I feel like I've been kind of hip-hoppy, yo. You can't.
I love it.
You unfortunately catch me in a hip-hoppy 24 hours.
I love it, man. And you're right there. What isn't hip-hop? I suppose if as a head and as an artist, I suppose everything kind of is tinged with it, right? I got to say, man, thank you for the music generally, but thank you for this last record you brought out, man. Don't Feed the Monster. You and Quelle Chris linking up and just delivering. For me, as a fan, I just want to say it's nice to hear just another great chapter in your kind of legacy, your tapestry you've been kind of weaving, man. How are you feeling on that record, man? It's been out a while now, so how you feeling on it?
I feel happy. You know, I like it. I'm very grateful to God, you know what I mean? Big shout out to God for all the rhymes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Every single rhyme is God, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So big shouts. And also big shout out to Quelle Chris, you know what I'm saying? God was working through on the production. He's fantastic.
You know,
I'm a big fan of his mom as well, and he's great. But yeah, I really like that record. You know, it was really helpful for me in my life. I'm very happy with it. That record was an important part of my life synthesis, you know what I'm saying? So
could you give me a bit of insight in, like you said, like your life synthesis, beautiful way to put it, like your journey towards making this album, like in the immediacy, like what was your journey towards like making this album in 2020, man?
You know, as far as my journey, you know, I guess a lot of things that brought me to this particular record was just a lot of attitudes I developed since I was a kid, you know, with regards to masculinity, with regards to women and relationships, with regards to what it means to be an adult or tough, really what it means to be tough and what it means to be, you know, strong, you know what I mean? Definitely what it means to be strong. And really, really what brought me to this particular record was having a unlearn and reverse a lot of stuff, you know, dealing with delusional stuff about me, dealing with delusional stuff about my beliefs and not really wanting to face this record come on the heels of a challenging time for me, you know what I mean? Where, you know, I kind of got back into a corner in a lot of ways in my mind and in the real world. But you know, it's all part of God's plan, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, man. And you're right. It feels different to your projects you've dropped before. Just a more open way, bro. Mad props. Like, really, seriously, big up, because I don't know how I could do that, like, to be as open as you have been, especially in this. I think in your music generally, you kind of put your feelings out there, your heart out there. It's not like a new thing to do that. But I think this one, there was just a lot of stuff that I'd obviously learned as a fan. And I mean, just your opening track, I know you've probably talked about this track to death, because I know everyone was talking about when you dropped Trauma, and that opening of an album kind of set the scene.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say I'm ready to tell you things. I mean, I guess I was ready to share that stuff, you know, with the world, you know?
Mm.
Making records is how I do my analysis itself. You know, it's how, like I said, synthesis and everything. So, you know, it was time for me to look at all that stuff for myself. You know what I mean? It was time for me to look at that stuff. And so that's you know, why everybody else, I guess, got wound up getting to look at it, you know? So
yeah.
It was time for me to look at it.
Yeah, man. It must feel quite good, like, to get to that place. What you say, it's time for you to do something like this. Like, you know, when you feel like now's the right time, that must feel good though, right? To be able to do
it. Yeah. It felt real. It felt amazing. I mean, it felt, you know, at the time, it felt very challenging and very overwhelming. But, you know, I definitely feel I've benefited greatly from, you know, facing demons, you know, facing issues or being realistic with myself about things I got to work on, you know what I mean? And you know, my life has really benefited from that, you know what I mean? So
that's nice, man. That's good to hear. It feels like you're in a good place, bro. It does. It's a nice thing.
Today's been a great day. I've been in a nice place, you know, the past few. This week's been a great week. God is just hooking me up left and right. Like, I don't know what God will do next.
That's good, man. That's good. You know when you feel that cumulative effect sometimes in life where you're kind of like, oh, things are kind of on a bit of a roll right now. It feels good,
man. Yeah. Everything's good, man. I don't want to, I'm watching my moves because I just want to keep the party going.
Yeah, man. I love that. Just on like this album and the kind of feeling I get from it is like there's the messaging straight away. You're definitely different in the way you're trying to rhyme, and it's just really expansive. I love it. I was wondering though, you know, when you are opening yourself up on an album like this and ready to deal with these things, how have your conversations at home been about it? At home, like with family or loved ones or friends, like have you had different conversations since it came out, or were they kind of ready?
Yeah. You know, you bring up trauma and I'll tell you, you know, like, there's really, you know, Scare You is a record I talked about, and Gestation, you know, Trauma had tons. Don't Look, like a lot of these records is dealing, you know, yeah, I've had a lot of conversations with people spurred on by people hearing this record and being like, yo, what's on your mind? Like, what is this rhyme about? Or, oh, a lot of times I was very, in this record, there was a lot of straightforwardness, you know, a lot of time I like to, you know, I get in all different types of mood, you know what I mean? Moods, sure. And sometimes I'll be more in the metaphor, more in the symbolism tip. Other times I'll be, you know, more direct, you know what I mean? There's a lot of direct stuff on this record. So I had a lot of talks with people that I've never had before. You know, my relationship with my mother is mad better since this record come out, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, my mother's a great mother and has always loved me. I never doubt that I was loved, which is really what it's all about. But I'm really very critical. But I love my girl, you know what I mean? Like, my life is better now, you know what I mean? Because I got to talk about so much of this stuff, you know, and I get to talk with people. Yo, people call me up, tell me crazy things occurred with them, and we got tight, you know, we got close, we talked to each other. It was great.
Man, how much do you reckon the pandemic is kind of doing with that? Because I know you may have wrote this like years ago, but for me, I'm having them conversations, man. Like where people are a bit more open, because and I think people are a bit more emotional, a bit more anxious, especially in the UK. I think them conversations are happening more with me. I'm not sure. What do you reckon?
I mean, for me, you know, last year, it definitely, you know, the kind of calm down, and, you know, there's not going to be no touring. There's not going to be a whole lot of, you know, events to go to in the evening time. It's not going to be a whole lot of socializing. I wrote the record the beginning of last year and the year before. So it wasn't even that I wrote, like, it was very current, you know what I mean? It was very current for me. But in the time after I recorded it, because I was done recording it, you know, I recorded it all in February, I think, but I had written it through February from months previous. You know, I was actually on tour in Europe in March when the whole what have you. You know, the tour got canceled midway through.
Yeah.
And, you know, come back and been in America ever since. You know, the summertime was mad transformative for me. You know what I mean? I did a bunch of inner work and all that. And it was a good time, you know, for the personal time and the personal space, which, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, have been experiencing as of late. You know what I mean? For me, it was very, very opportune. I mean, I'm not ashamed to tell you straight up that I think the world comes from my brain. You know what I'm saying? I ain't afraid to tell you straight up that this happened because of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Going back to the record, I was thinking about, you were saying there about like, I think there's a lot of acceptance of who you are. I can't think of another way to put it. But like, you know, when you kind of know your weaknesses, but then to also accept them. I love the way you end this record, bro. Like, you're ending it on Gestations, that they're straight. The hook on Straight kind of is all that. Is about that.
That's why I ended it that way. You know, like, the whole thing was coming to terms with stuff I never faced, coming to terms with myself, realities about myself I never faced, and then needed to move forward from that. You know what I mean? That's why, yo, I thought that I knew Straight was going to be the last song, and that was the last song I wrote, or so I thought. And then I wanted to write in Trauma right after that, the very same day. Oh. So Trauma was actually the last song I wrote, first song on the record. because the record wasn't done. Huh. It needed the you know, I don't know, that Indiana Jones movie. There's an Indiana Jones movie that in the beginning, it's like River Phoenix playing him.
Yes.
For like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And I'm not for like, and then the rest is Harrison Ford. But it needed that little look at the young indie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what this record was missing, because it had all this stuff that's going on with me now, but it needed that beginning, you know what I mean, to bring me this. Because now I'm straight after looking at all that, you know?
That's fascinating, bro, because I'm listening to it and I'm like, it's a journey. It's a proper journey of a record. You touch on so many things through it, and the ending was beautiful. But man, that's mad. That's crazy. Going on to that, like, I was thinking about you getting to that level of openness, getting to that level of acceptance for yourself. And then I thought, like, you've worked with Quelle Chris for this whole project, right? And how did you find yourself comfortable enough to be like that with him? As a duo, because this could have been self-produced or produced with other people, and you were kind of stuck with one person.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it, you know, the way it come together with he and I, we had just done two tours together. Like, we did a tour in February, and we did a tour in December, I believe it was, or maybe November. Mm-hmm. We did a tour in November, and we did a tour in February. And then, you know, I seen he was in Brooklyn at the time. I'm in Brooklyn. He wasn't too far away. So we was able to, so, you know, touring with somebody is, you know, you in a tour vehicle, you know, we traveling all the time. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's an energy sharing that takes place. And and really the two of those tours and the record, I started to write some of the record before we toured. Mm-hmm. But it was really when we toured and we start to share energy and I get to know him better, we get to know each other better, that the record really start to blossom and become. And then when we got back in February, we was able to spend all that time together in studio and working on it. He brings a unique, his soundscapes, mm-hmm. in addition to just being very unique on their own, I think the energy of them was really lending itself to the energy where I was. Like, some of this stuff is upbeat, but there's still darkness going on, you know what I mean? Yeah. Also, some of it is there's a lot of mid-tempo going on, you know what I mean? It was a perfect, you know, I mean, if I allow myself to just answer the first thing in my head, you know, most of the questions that you ask me, I'm going to just say, well, God just made it that way. I didn't do it. Yeah. And that's definitely the answer with how I looked up with Chris, you know?
Yeah. Life is like that, man. Life is like that. Yo, just interrupting this episode to give you a quick update on our plans for 2021. But before I do, just remember to subscribe on YouTube and like this video. Also, get involved in the comments. We always have some dope takes on there. So shout out to people that are getting involved. We love reading them. And hopefully some more of you guys can get on there and we'll shout you out on the episodes coming up. Now, on to 2021. We here at Crate 808 are setting up a Patreon where for the price of a pint or a coffee every month, we'll be bringing you even more dope hip-hop episodes. Simply go to crate808.com, subscribe to the newsletter, you'll get all the updates on our plans. But as a taster, each month we're thinking of bringing you 90s rap hidden gem album reviews that you can vote for. So if you enjoy people like Master Ace, Diamond D, The Lynch Mob, Paris, Big Noid, Blase Blase, we'll be doing a lot more of those. We're going to do our Why I Love series, the MF Doom and J Dilla editions. Each month we'll bring on a guest and dig into why they love a certain Doom or JD track and then test that love. How deep is that love? Next up, Wu-Tang Chronicles Ghostface Killer Edition. We're aiming here, I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, but we're aiming to go through every solo Wu project, and we're going to start with Ghostface catalogue. So we're going to go in, we're going to talk about the music, we're going to talk about the fashion sense, and just some of the amazing bars he's dropped in that career. And the Griselda Marathon, I want to do it. If we get enough patrons, we're going to do it. We're going to go through every single Griselda project and really, let's dive in, yeah? So get involved. Hit up crate808.com, subscribe to the newsletter, as well as the YouTube and the podcast. Now, back to the episode. Because I was looking at some of the other tracks on here, the Extinction and Biters and stuff like that has those old school ethics kind of, them heckles kind of jump up when I'm hearing them tracks. Where were you at, man?
You can call them old school ethics if you want, or you can just call them ethics.
Or just call them... Boom, you sound like my best friend right now. That's exactly what he would have said. Absolutely true, man. Where were you when? Where were you spiritually, mentally when you were writing those?
I mean, I told you know in Extinction, I have, you know, I'm very honest on the beginning of the second thing. I said, is it better to be talented or famous? I admit to you, I wish that I was both. But if I only could choose one to be my favorite, the answer is talent, and it isn't even close. And the fact of the matter is, you know, that's something that I struggle with. There's so many really talented individuals. I know rappers, but I know all different types of mediums of art that make amazing stuff, that are amazing successes in this world, but struggle because they haven't achieved a certain degree of notoriety, a certain degree of, you know, fame and everything, you know, and that, like, that's something that I've struggled with. It's almost like, I'm not sure where it comes from, but it's not true. It's not true. You know what I mean? It's false. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You talk about old school ethics or whatever, like, you know, hip hop is older now. You know what I mean? It's been around for a longer time. You know, something is born, all these different cats running around that are troubled and are not as, you know, are not in touch with the God in them the same way others might be, are looking to desecrate stuff. And it take them a little while to figure it out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you'd have never thought that the most lyric intensive genre of all time. Yo, hip hop is the most lyric intensive genre of all time.
100%.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's more lyrics in a rap record than any other type of record ever, you know, in a rap song.
Mm.
You'd have never thought that, you know, that however many years later, you'd be looking at, does this artist know how to talk? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it took a little while to get there. You know what I mean? It took a little while to be like, yo, these people are going to really eat whatever they're fed. You know what I mean? Yeah. We got to step up and be like, sorry, that don't work. And we haven't done that to this point, you know, at least not on a massive scale, you know? And so our kids don't do as well in school as I did for knowing LL Cool J and Slick Rick Ross.
Yeah.
But I say that all to say, Writers is, you know, you as another one you mentioned, call it old school ethics. The reality is, if we were all being ourselves, everybody be different. I feel great being myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The more, but I'm not saying that I never, you know, I have influences, and I'm not saying that I've not at different times sought to be things that aren't me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And perpetrated, because I definitely for certain have. The further I get away from that, the better my life is. And I would like to make that known to cats, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the better everything goes, the more I get in touch with me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that was a reality that was given to me through art. You know what I mean? At a certain time.
Yeah.
Now that's not a reality. You know, I got a niece, I got a nephew. I know I got God kids. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I recognize that they're not being told what you're supposed to be is yourself the way I was. You know what I mean? And it's hurting them. It's making them sad, yo.
Man, that's deep, man. I have a hope that as kids, with the right guidance, obviously, but and a bit of luck and a bit of fate or a bit of fortitude, whatever it is, they get to that good place if they have that guidance. There's been too many times I've referenced yourself, and there's been lots of other rappers as well, but you're one of them that it's fine to do the rap to bring that fire and to do what we love in hip hop. But if you can do that and open my third eye to who you are as a person, what your character is, what you believe, and I can relate to that, man, that's when you hit that other level for me. And you've been on that since The Good Son for me. Like, you know, I remember that.
All the glory be to God, man. But I agree with you 100%, man. You know, when you talk about when you have a hope that, you know, people could be brought there, I have such amazing success with just exposing people to good art, right? Because it ain't that good art don't work no more. It's just that there's so much in place to keep people from getting it. You don't get to hear good art. It's not everywhere like it used to be.
Mm.
But yo, I got so much. And you know, I'm not even talking, this is a podcast focused on, you know, good art was more prevalent in the 90s. You turn on the radio, there was good art there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know, we talked about Quelle Chris, or we could talk about A$AP Rocky. We talk, you know, I played Lupe Fiasco Mural. You know, if I was the head of schools, that'd be taught in every school. They would talk about Mural. They would break it down like they break down Shakespeare. But the fact is, when I share that with people, when I share Open Mike Eagle, so there's a whole lot of current artists that are making beautiful art. And the truth of it is, when I expose that to whoever, young people, old people, whatever, at first it's like getting splashed with cold water because what is this? It sounds weird. It doesn't sound like what I'm conditioned to. But the response, the success rate of being able to realize that good art is good, I find it's a very high percentage. You know?
Yeah. And that feeling as well is so good, right? Like when you know, oh, like this is dope. Like I remember hearing Sacred Safe with you and you. I mean, that is just that track. I love that track. And I didn't check the listing to who was featured or anything. I was just listening to the album. And I heard your voice and it was just like, this is kind of now reaching favorite status for me. Again, you know, it's these moments when you know that's good. I had to ask you there. Actually, before I do ask you, I just wanted to hit you up in case you hadn't heard on The Grapevine. Funny you mentioned Lupe, because I was literally on the Clubhouse app with him, listening to him, and he was cited. All these people were asking, I'm not sure if you've been on there, but it's a different vibe. Like, people are asking him, who's your favorite MCs, to Lupe. And I honestly think they expected him to start saying the names everyone usually reels out. Bang, before, within a second, he was like, oh, Homeboy Sandman and ASAP Rock. They're doing stuff that people aren't doing. And honestly, there was this, I'm not being like that, but there was a quietness in the room where I was just sitting there. I was like, yes, yes, that's what I'm talking about. So yeah, just in case you hadn't heard, Lupe's fully on
big,
board.
Big love to brother Lupe. You know, he's one of the, I mean, he's a genius. He's a brilliant genius.
Yeah, man. Just wanted to travel back then, because we talked about like rapping and the art and yourself, but I wanted to combine the two and just find out, like, when did you discover your love? Because you love playing with, I can feel the love you have for playing with words, vocabulary, diction, everything. When did that come for you as a kid?
I think it really, really solidified for me in high school. During high school, I went away. I left the city and went to high school in New Hampshire in a school called the Holderness School. You know, as I look back now, I made some of my best friends there. But at the time, you know, it was a very, very different environment than I was used to culturally. You know, it was in the middle of the forest in New Hampshire. You know, the background of the majority of the kids there was a very different background from, you know, I felt like I don't have nothing in common with these people. Plus, I missed home. Plus, it was high school and I was, you know, assuming everybody was having a blast back home, and I go back for summers and I'm like, dag, I'm missing out on everything. So I had copious amounts of records, tapes. Yo, they used to sell bootleg tapes right on Queens Boulevard where I grew up, right on my block. It was bootleg. Before even bootlegging was all over New York, it was right on Queens Boulevard on my block, you know?
Okay.
And I had a brother there. He would hook me up 2 for $5 all the time. Even if I didn't have, he would bust me down with one, like, because he knew I was coming back. So I had all the cassette tapes. Mm. And I would bring those with me to New Hampshire when it was time to go back or whenever. And I just had drawers full of tapes. I have them alphabetized. And all day long, I was listening to music, because that was what kept me. Because I really did, you know, teenage time is already difficult with teenage angst and, you know, whatever going on the hormones. So I was very much like, yo, I don't fit in here. And the best way for me to not even have to deal with it is to always be listening to records. So I absorb, you know, I listen to Redman, Muddy Waters a zillion times. I listen to Wu records a zillion times. I listen to all the records that was out, I listened to a zillion times. Yeah. I listen to Illadelph Half-Life a zillion times. You know what I mean? And you can't, this is what I say, you can't listen to Illadelph Half-Life a zillion times without getting nice ramen. You know what I'm saying? The stuff I was listening to a zillion times, and of course I had all the, you know, I had all the make, I had the Rated R, I had the Clue, I had the Doo-Wop, I had the Tony Touch, I had everything. Mm. I had really seriously everything that, and I used to absorb it all day long. And so I did come to love, like I did come to, you know, big shout to everybody who ever expressed himself through art. But I always gravitated towards these cats that I found to be mind-blowing with the structures, mind-blowing with the, yo, did you hear what he said? Yo, this was so creative. This was so clever. Yeah. A lot of people gravitated to people that was like, yo, whoever is really sharing their pain, and I relate to that pain. And I appreciate that a great deal. But it was a cat that's going to share some pain with a crazy bar that was I was rocking with. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And that's why I developed it, though. But I really feel like it was just because I listened to it so much that I had to develop some structures for favoritism. And what became my structures was complexity. I got so much music here, much of it is beautiful. The stuff, you know, where's my preference? How's my preference going to develop? And it wound up being this complexity, and it wound up being this. That's what impressed me the most, you know?
I love that, because to do that, like listen to everything, I think there's a step to then actually being writing. You know, I didn't take that step. Many didn't take that step. A lot of people do. But then not just to do that, but then not to sound like anyone, you know? Like when I first heard you, it wasn't like I could say, oh, this guy definitely listens to this. It's almost like this guy definitely listens to everything. You know, like there was a lot in there. And then the knowingness to, obviously, I suppose it's when you're developing your career, to kind of rein it in as well and not have to worry. You know, we know Homeboy Sandman can go on a 64-bar rampage and you know, kill everything, but it's nice to know you don't need to do that. Where does that element of non-conformity come? Is it even a thing for you? Do you even see that in yourself? Because to me, there's a very non-conformist thing to your career.
The thing about it is, you know, I do feel like I've been accused of being the type of person that disagrees just to disagree. That's not true. If I agree with something, I'm more than comfortable to agree with it, even if everybody else does. It ain't my fault that cats is out here bugging so regularly. I have nothing to do with it. I don't know how popular culture became something that I think, and you know, this is, I'm not all, you know, I'm definitely not all knowing. I might not be any knowing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If I got any knowing, it's a little if that. But as far as what I feel and what my gut is telling me, it's all this money worship is corny. It's all this status worship, dumb coin. Everything besides talent, appreciation, and authenticity does not resonate with me. Mm. So there's so much going on that is based on things besides authentic talent that none of that stuff has a chance to resonate with me. And people want to know who I worked with. I'm not going to tell you who I worked with. That's got nothing to do with me. People want to know what, I mean, not anymore, but when I was online, what are my online numbers? I'm not going to tell you what my online numbers, that has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. People want to know 1,000 things about me besides my record. I make records. That's all you got to know. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I've been dealt with, you know, companies, labels that want to have a bio that has some, you don't even need a bio for me unless you're my biographer. My bio is a joint. Listen to the joint. You don't need nothing but ears to know what's popping with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just not the way many people see it anymore. That's not the way people, and I wrote that record Extinction because my idea of success is not, people talk about, I watched Bamboozled again the other day. I'm not going to get into a whole crazy rant tirade.
Yeah.
But I love the scene in Bamboozled with that comedian, I forget his name, the brother.
I can't remember, man.
Yeah, I can't remember either, but he plays Damon Wayans' father. There's a small scene in it, but he's a funny comedian that don't dance. And he's like, yo, I'm going to say my jokes. I'm funny. I'm going to work the chitlin circuit. I got my girl. I love my life. And Damon Wayans is like, yo, you ever going to be successful, Pop? And he's like, yo, what are you looking at? You're not looking at me. I'm happy. I'm doing my art. I'm chilling. Mm. But Damon Wayans goes and plays himself. Because he don't recognize. And the point is that that character right there is not trying to be nonconformist. It's just that he recognized that this stuff ain't worth conforming to. So you know, he going to be nonconformist. I'm going to conform to something if it's worth conforming to. I conform to nutrition. You know what I mean? I change my nutrition. I feel better. Boom. Yeah. I'm a conformist to nutrition. Introduce something to me. You know, people put me on the new rappers. You know what I mean? I'll become a fan. No doubt. I'll become a fan if the stuff is fly.
Yeah.
But if something ain't flying, it ain't coming from the heart. It just don't resonate with me.
Man, that's, I'm so glad I got to talk to you about that because I was, you know, it's one of them things that you're giving me that different perspective. The lens you live your life through is very different to the way I look at it. And I'm like, yeah, that's so true. And if you're happy, that's, mate, bang on. Nailed it. I love that.
Hey, what's up? This is Black Thought, and you are now rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast.
Yo. This is Stretch Armstrong.
Ooh-wee. My name is Bobito Garcia, aka Cool Bob Love.
You're now listening to Crate 808.
Hey, yo, what up, y'all? This is Prince Paul, and you're rocking with Crate 808 Podcast.
Yo, it's Evie Evidence, Dilated Peoples. You're rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast, my favorite shit. Let's go.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Master Ace from Brooklyn, New York, and you're checking out the Crate 808 Podcast, real hip hop.
I was going to actually say to you then, like just saying there about like you were listening to all this music, you were having fun with it. What was the moment where you realized, oh, I'm actually quite good? Do you remember that?
Well, yeah, I do remember, you know, I was an English major in college and I've always read, I've always been in literature. I always enjoyed reading and writing, you know? And like I said, I knew what it took to make a rhyme that was special just from being such a fan. I studied, so I knew what it took, you know? It's funny because I smoked weed. I was a pothead for years. And I smoked weed and I wrote these rhymes and I knew they were flavor. I would bring them to the barbershop, you know, play a little thing on a thing. I would record my people's Chiva, you know, Uptown Lightning Music and my boy Will Gilliard, you know what I mean? We'd be having fun, but we'd always be so high. So at that time, like I knew the joints was flavor. You know, I knew that. But I felt like, yo, this is something that I always got to activate with this. You know what I mean? I always got to activate it by smoking. Yeah. So I didn't at that time feel like I was actually nice. I just knew that I could do nice stuff when I was high. It wasn't up until, you know, I got past that part of my life and didn't write for a long time and then went back and realized that I could do that, you know, sober. And then it was bomb. Because all that time, I wanted to feel the way you said, like, yo, I'm really good. I'm actually very good at this and everybody rocks with it. But it wouldn't register with me because I felt like I always needed a crutch. But when I first done it sober, I was like, boom, I'm nice at this. I'm stupid nice at this.
Sweet,
you know, thank God, you know?
That's wicked. And before I jump into other bits, I just wanted to also ask about the name Homeboy Sandman, as in, was there other names? Did you have other names before that?
Man, I actually did used to have a bunch of names. It used to be fun for me to just come up with names, and it still is, you know?
Okay.
I recently come up with Frederick Douglass.
Frederick Douglass, yes.
And Crocodile Dundee is another one I love. And, you know, I got all these joints that I love.
That's it, yeah.
But I don't know what it is about Homeboy Sandman when I come up with it. I actually wrote a rhyme just the other day that'll be on a verse with Sing. What's it say? Hold up. I'm just looking it up right here because I got it in the thing.
Yeah, man.
Because the name Homeboy Sandman is unusual, you know? I find my way, but in time, I do not like my name, but it's mine. You know what I'm saying? I go back and forth because when I thought of the name Homeboy Sandman, it was like it was kind of given to me, like, yo, this is your name. And it just, you know, I talk about what resonates. I talk about intuition. Intuition, you know, I talk about the six senses because I believe in intuition as much as I believe in sight. You know what I mean? Homeboy Sandman, dang, that's my name. Okay, cool. I'm with it. You know what I mean? And at different times, I've thought, I got another rhyme like something, something for my health. I changed my name, but I can't think of nothing else. You know what I mean? Sometimes I love it. Other times, I don't love it, you know? But it's my name. I know it's long. I know it's Homeboy Sandman. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm Homeboy Sandman. It's funny because even to the when people ask me, you know, what do you do? I make music. Under what? Sometimes I'm like, Homeboy Sandman, kid. Homeboy Sandman. You ain't never going to forget that.
Yeah.
Other times I'm like, Homeboy Sandman. Like,
yeah,
my name is Homeboy Sandman. But that's just my name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Just so you know, I love it. I remember that first time I ever heard you from you was The Good Son. I remember seeing the album cover, everything. I want to dive into the album in a minute. But I remember that. I was just like, that is a dope name. Like, that is a wicked name. I don't just, yeah, like you said, I've never really heard anything like it. I was going to say, actually, before we move on from the album, big up on Shorty Heights, love that track. There is a line in there where you said, I even helped a lady by delivering a baby by a broken elevator
later.
Did that happen?
That's not true.
Okay,
no.
Right.
But check this out. A bunch of people, like I said, you know, I'm into some, like, I'll kick a rhyme that the rhyme means I get busy all throughout the day. You know what I mean? Like, I'm ready for anything. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that rhyme, I even helped a lady by delivering her baby in a broken elevator. That's that rhyme. Like, the boy saying, when it gets time to do whatever. Was that my fault? Oh.
Oh, it's all good.
Right. Oh, baby, you look great. I'm doing it. Yeah. But I want to see you with your hair. You look beautiful. All right. Bye. Love you. My girl, she just got her head done.
That is so sweet. That is so sweet, bro. I love that.
And she called to FaceTime me while we were there, and I went and I turned it off.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm in the middle of this thing. But then I remembered that she went to show me the hair.
Man, you got to do it.
Off the podcast for a moment.
I love that.
But I can't remember what I was
broken saying. Elevator, babies.
Okay, so that rhyme just means, you know, I'm ready for anything. I really did not think. So many people have been like, yo, you have the lady to live her baby in a broken elevator? I had no idea that people was going to take that literally. There's so many people, like, you're not the first person this week to ask me that. It hasn't really died. I mean, it's died down since the album came out.
Yeah.
But at first people were like, yo, you know, whatever about the album. Also, I had no idea you delivered a baby. I didn't deliver a baby.
But imagine you did. It's the story is the myth making is great there, man. I love that. I was going to say, Don't Look Down. Now, I know you've probably talked about this track a few times, but obviously it's the video as well that you did and the jump. And if no one's checked it, go check it. Homeboy Sandman's YouTube. Don't Look Down. Can you break down that video for me and what drove you to want to make that track and that video?
Dude, I'm glad that I got to already introduce my relationship to intuition. You know what I mean? Because I started writing that song on the roof once after I had walked across. So I had never jumped, but I really go up to the roof, you know, and I walk across the ledge sometimes just as a fear control thing. You know what I mean? Just like, it's scary, but I can do it. That's something I've been doing for however long. It's one of different things that I'll be like, yo, I'm scared. Let me just do it. You know, I mentioned freestyling in that video because sometimes, you know, early in my career, when I was freestyling all the time, I felt like, yo, throw me in a cypher anywhere. I'm ready to let cats know.
Yeah.
But now that I don't freestyle like that, if cats start freestyling, I'm like, I need to go to the bathroom, you know?
Yeah.
But it's still good for me to jump in and face the fear. You know what I mean? So that's another thing that I'll do. Like, I'll be like, I don't feel like doing this, but let me do it anyhow. So that's really how the record began. Then, you know, after the record was done, I'm thinking about visuals, you know what I mean? And I'm thinking about, you know, visual representations of the album. And I was up on the roof. I was working out. I go up there and work out in the summertime. And I just realized this is what I have to do for the video. Same as when I realized my name was Homeboy Sammy. Same as whatever transmission, you know what I mean? I believe in the direct transmission. And I was like, dag, B. And I went and I looked at it. And I was like, dag, B, I could do that. I know I could do this if I work for a month. That's what I got to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I, you know, like I believe my art is a gift. You know, I believe it's a gift from God, and I believe that it comes with parameters. You know what I mean? Mm. And I believe that my transmission was like, you know, cool. You know, I give you this song. It was good for you. You know what I mean? To be able to write it out and think about it this way. You know, if you want to do a video for this, this is what the video going to be.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it, but it's just not this.
It's a fascinating. Like everyone has fear. They're all relative. It's everyone has it. It more so probably in this last year or so than ever. Very fascinating of how you tackle it. And it's really inspiring where I was like, yeah, man. Like, did you say in freestyle, did you battle a lot? Did you ever battle much or not?
I battled one time. And this is another fear thing. The only reason I battled, because I'm not into dissing people.
Okay.
You know, I'm not into dissing. I'm not into that element. Many of these people are very, very talented, but I'm not into, and I have friends that are super nice at it and love dissing cats, you know, and I love dissing my friends. We love dissing each other, but we love each other. You know what I mean? I'm not into dissing people I don't love. People I love, I love to diss.
Yeah, yeah.
People I don't love, I don't want to make them feel bad. You know what I'm saying? It's not in me, you know? But I did do one battle only to make sure that I wasn't G-ing myself, like giving myself a way out. So I did just that one battle and I was like, yo, I really didn't like this. I really don't like that. That's not for me. So I used to do a bunch of, like in New York, there was this thing called MC A to Z that Ty from the Bush threw in Flatbush. There was the EO Dub had the MC Challenge. You know, there was all these, there was Freestyle Mondays that Ill Spoken did. There was all these different ways to showcase and to be involved in competitive freestyling without having to diss one another. So I used to do those heavy. Like that circuit of creativity that wasn't really, it was competitive, but it wasn't cutting each other down. Cause I'm not heavy into that, but I don't got no, you know, I definitely recognize that there was a, you know, even when I talk about, you know, artists that I regard super duper highly, like Quelle or Lupe or whatever, you know, like I want to do something that they'll look to and they'll be like, oh snap, he got, like, it's not a competitive thing, but I want to do something that when they hear it, they're like, oh snap. And I personally do believe that there's a scholarly way of looking at music. I look at it in a scholarly way. Like I talk about, I studied it, you know?
Yeah.
And if you study French like crazy, you and other people that study French like crazy will recognize some stuff about French that most people don't really recognize. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you say something about French that blows those few, there's only a small amount of people that really get it, but they all trying to out French one another. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I like to think of myself as trying to out French this small amount of French cats. You know what I mean?
Like, I love that. That reminds me actually, because I was just surfing the net generally, but I think obviously my algorithm's got a lot of you on it at the moment because I've been researching, you know, checking out old tracks that I haven't heard in a while. And oh man, there's this cypher dropped, man, from 2012. And it's you, Das Racist, Blue. Oh man, it's just sick, right?
Me, Das Racist, Blue, Outlaw, and Odyssey.
You know it, man, right? You're in the back, and you know when you're saying there, when your peers are getting it, I think like Blue or Odyssey drop something and you're just in the back like,
oh man.
And that feels good. Like, those must be good memories for you, man. Like that 2012 time.
I remember that. Yeah, I don't remember what year it was, but I remember that cypher. It was Bars on Deck. We was on top of the PNC on the roof. And that was flavor. I loved it, man. And I remember that day, I wrote my bars on the way there and I had them. And everybody's like, yo, you going to read off your book, B? You know what I'm saying? Like, that don't look right. I'm like, don't worry about what look right, B. Worry about what sound right. Yo, close your eyes, B.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm for that, man. I'm 100% for that, man. It was a great time. I mean, talking to peers and that, like, you know, this industry, you can, like you've said, you know, you can funnel yourself into different places. And I think there's a variety of music is absolutely amazing at the moment, from yourself to people like Elzai still dropping great projects. You know, there's bare bars as well out there, which is great.
Hey, yo, this your boy Pharrell March, and right now you are rocking live with the Crate 808 podcast. Enjoy this week's episode and just remember to subscribe and rate and review. Peace. Great. Oh.
I was actually going to ask you, Aesop, man. Aesop Rock, the Lice trilogy, and you blessed us that for free as well, man. Like, oh, man.
Well, you know, we encourage every one of them has a charity attached to
for
it.
For sure.
You know, so they each, you know, was encouraging people to give to, you know, different charities.
Yeah, I love that. And I was just going to ask you a bit about Aesop, really, because as a person, I don't know much about him, but I was wondering, what are you getting different from someone like him working with Lice and working at other collabs you've done with him that maybe you're not getting from other people? Like, what is it about Aesop, that working relationship?
I mean, as far as, you know, what I've been talking about with studying and stuff like that, like when I first connected with Ace, I knew Daylight, I knew, you know, some of the, you know, None Shall Pass he wasn't part of my lessons, and he wasn't part of my super duper absorption. You know what I mean? Having now, I'm the biggest Aesop fan in the world now, you know what I mean? But there's an imagination. I mean, everybody talks about the vocabulary, but there's a vocabulary, there's an imagination. And there is a, you know, I used to say, I want to write rhymes that sound so good that even if there was no words, you would want to hear them just because of the sound. And I want to write rhymes with words so good that even if they didn't sound good, you want to listen to them just for the words, you know?
Yeah.
And my boy Ace, here's a whole track. It could be 3 minutes. It could be 4 minutes. And he decides, it's so beautiful. He decides what he's going to do sonically. And he sticks with it. Yo, it ain't easy. It takes time to find hot words over a topic. I mean, you look at a song like Dorks. I mean, there's a lot of Ace I can talk about, but my point is to stick to a topic and to rhythmically create these pockets, to find these pockets, but just to adhere to them, he never lets himself off the hook. Mm-hmm. Me, I've let myself off the hook. I've been like, yo, this is hot enough. I'm not going to beat myself against the wall for another 6 hours getting that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is hot enough. Yeah. And he don't do that. And I love that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like people talk about like the best player on the team is supposed to be the first in practice and the last at practice. That's what working with Aesop has really done for me. I'm like, yo, Aesop is going to spend another 6 hours. He already is the best, you know? And he's still going to do that? I got to do that. I have to do that. I can't let myself off the hook.
It's a
that
discipline.
Yeah. It's a discipline, but it's inspiring. And it does feel good to put in work. Ace is that best player on the team that's the first to practice and the last to leave.
I was listening to, your tracks, I don't even know where you think of, how's this even come up as an idea? You know, like environmental studies, cats, vertigo. It's just like, where did this even come from? Which is great. But you're saying stuff as well. Like, if I actually listen to every line, what you're saying is enlightening me and my brain. So Strange Here. I was listening to So Strange Here. It's almost quite solemn, I think, mate, when you were talking about every kid on the same has got the same kicks, got the same dreams, but the same wish. That's kind of breaks your heart a little bit, especially as a dad. I'm like, you don't want everyone to have the same wish or everyone have the same dream. But that verse and the way, and that's just the tip of the iceberg on that verse where I'm like, man, I'm feeling this in my soul. Yet as well, it sounds like nothing else. I just want to give props, man, really, for that.
I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful, man. Thank you. Thank you, God.
With Aesop, awful news we heard about MF Doom passing. You guys.
When I say the best, let me just, Supervillain is the best, is the best. The music lives forever. And when I say the best, I mean somebody that has just achieved this status of no one can do what I do in the world. This is the best. It can't be topped.
Yeah.
A super villain cannot be topped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And me and Ace is there. I want to achieve that. You know what I mean? Like that's what we talk about, I mean, we used to talk about Villain all the time, you know, but I want to let it be known since you bring up that track. For me, that track is not a sadness about the passing of Supervillain Dome. It is a happiness at the existence and a happiness at the sheer magnitude, the sheer genius and the brilliance and the authenticity and the creativity and the ingenuity and everything splendid and unique about. That's what it is, a celebration. You know what I mean? Because everybody's going to go at some point and there's real challenges associated with that. But I want to celebrate this,
you know? Mate. And you are. That's the thing. It's everything I've heard of Doom, with Stretch and Bob talking about him, and just, you know, curious. Everyone who's talked about him since he passed, like hearing the news he passed, there's been a lot of laughter in them conversations. And I'm sorry, but when you're dropping an era full of rarefied jewels and making use of airtime for making bad hairlines cool. I mean, right here, man. Like, look at this. This
hey,
is,
look. That, yeah. No, I right. represented. I went when we went. I found out we had, you know, big shouts to my people's Bongiorno. You know what I'm saying? I said, let me throw my Bongiorno on. You know what I mean?
Big. I like
but,
it.
But you looking good. First of all, you looking strong.
Oh,
you got
thank
all
you.
Types of hair, you know what I'm saying? You
thank you, bro. But I feel that when you drop a line like that, I feel that line. I just wanted to really know, like, when you were doing that track, like, did you guys just think, like, let's just think of our favorite memories and let's just go in, because there's a lot of little gems in there about that.
Ace and I, we love rap. He sends rap to me. Mm. I send rap to him, you know. So we, that track wasn't at all, both being the fans, you know, that we've been of Doom for a long time. We kind of had already done the structural conversation and framework of what the track, you know, is going to lay out.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked about how it's important to me to shout out GMOs, and it's important to me to shout out, you know, Governor. Cats slept on the JJ Dome to
Mate.
Me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Governor is breaking down imperialism, folks.
Yeah.
Old people, the villain could do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the villain was, you know, the villain, he was out there having fun saying wild, outrageous things in the illest way too. But he was breaking down imperialism and nutrition. Like we had all these talks, and I know what Ace's favorite villain joints are. I know his album order. You know, he knows mine. That all really just came out. You know, like I say, I know everybody's going to pass, and I don't look at death the way society does. You know, I'm not nonconformist, but it just seemed like everybody going to die. If the only thing that's definitely going to happen to everybody is regarded as a tragedy,
yeah,
you're not setting yourself up for you know, for disappointment. You
Absolutely,
know what I mean?
Man. It's all good.
Long live super villain.
Long live super villain. That's it, man. That's it. Did you ever have any time when you could have crossed paths with him? I know Aesop had a few bits, but...
Yeah. Ace got records with him, you know? I never met Supervillain Doom.
You ever see him live?
Yeah. We rock shows. I mean, I rocked Sound Crash in Croatia, Soundwave, whatever. It's right on the beach.
Okay.
Beautiful festival. Yeah, I went on right before Supervillain Doom and, of course, stayed to watch him rock. But the thing is, being such a crazy fan, also, I figured if I knew then what I know now, I would have gone up and introduced myself. But I felt we do have a lot of, you know, people, George is my boy, you know, Curious is my boy.
Mm-mm-mm, for sure.
And, you know, just I figured, you know, I'm going to run into the villain without having to go up and be, maybe I was just trying to play it too cool even too, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just keep it real. Like, I should have just gone up and be like, yo, I'm a huge fan of yours. I'm so ill that you about to rock the mic. I just rock, baby. This is ill for me. You know what I mean? That's what I really should have did, you know? But I didn't do it.
Nah, that's all good, man. No, but I mean, yeah, it's a beautiful thing still either way, man. I wanted to jump onto The Good Son, man, with you. I know it's ages, like it's like 10 years ago, but I was actually, hold on, before I talk about Gunson, I just want to also say, Edon, that's another person that we can't just not talk about. Like, your partnerships are fire, bro. Like, you're picking these people, like, that is some off the wall shit. Please break down what he is bringing to your craft.
Edon, he calls himself a perfection. Me and Edon working together, you know, like I talk about how Ace is the first person at the gym and the last person to leave. Edon, to me, you know, it's a little bit of a snapper. He's my brother. I love him.
Mm.
He just want to practice. He don't even want to go to the game sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, he just want to practice. But he's a perfectionist. But he's a brilliant. But I really love when I work with people that are one of a kind, like Edon or Ace or Quelle. You know what I mean? That's really fun for me, because I'm not going to be able to do that with anybody else. I'm not going to be able to do Humble Pop with anybody else.
Mm.
And you can't never chant. You can't. There ain't no replacement Edon I could have gone and got that flavor from. You know what I mean? Work so, but I only bring up the first thing because me, you could tell from the thing, I live this. You know what I mean? I write, you know, I was listening to Iman Omari beat before this. That's what I'm gonna go get my work. I'm gonna go get my reps in and see what starts cooking with that. I'm writing. You know what I mean? I write, I create. I've got 100 releases because I'm like, yo, this is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Edon, super, but not the same way. He's more, let's take our time. I'm going to find, tinker every single element. And it's useful, though. I will say this. Me and Edon, I was definitely like, yo, E, this is good, B. This is flavor. It's ready to go, B. You know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't got to keep working on this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, we do got to keep working on it, you know? And I'll be like, yo, this cat is crazy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then it was hotter. And I had to just admit it. You know what I mean?
There you go. Proof is in the pudding, man. Proof is in the pudding, right? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, brilliant. Beautiful. Again, a big fan of both of you guys. And yeah, if there's any new stuff, I'm here for all that, man, for sure.
Yo, what up, y'all? This is DJ Premier, and you're checking out the Crates 808 podcast. I put an S on it because there's more than one record in the crate. You know what I'm saying? So that's how we dig. That's how we play. And that's what real DJs do. You heard? That's why it goes down. We out ya.
I wanted to ask you then, so my introduction to you, as I said, was The Good Son. It might still be my favorite work from you just because I kind of, it takes me back, you know, so it's a nostalgic feel. So I remember living in East London, that coming on and just constantly rinsing that album. Where are you at with the album now? Like, how do you feel on that when you look back on that?
I really love it. It was a special time for me. It was a really special time. Mm. It was a really pure time. Like I kind of, you know, it was my third record, you know, earlier when you were talking about, like, if you listen to my, if you ever heard my first record, Nourishment, you would listen to Nourishment and you would be like, you would hear certain joints and be like, yo, this kid is an Eminem fan. He studies Eminem. You would hear City Dark and be like, this dude is a Black Thought fan. You would hear Comrade Punsky, named after Pun, and be like, this dude is a big Pun fan, you know? So it took me a little while to kind of work, churn my stuff enough to where my influences became teachers rather than, you know, it wasn't really showing, you know, where I wasn't emulating so much. It was more that I took lessons and worked them out myself. And I was having a lot of fun. And I was just kind of, I had on a second record, I was like, yo, I can rap now and people are paying attention. Let me just have fun. That was the Good Son was the first time I was like, yo, let me try to really put a project together. You know what I mean? You know, that has some degree of, I don't even want to say professionalism, but just cohesion and polish, you know what I mean? Like, let me get some polish going, you know? It's crazy because since, you know, I learned so much about polish from Quelle as he puts a record together, so much about polish from Edan. Like, at that time, you know, it was all different producers. And I'm not saying that a record with a bunch of different producers can't be polished and tight. Mm. I mean, I did that, you know, I've done that many times. I've aimed to do that many times. But there was a special energy there because for the first time, I was like, yo. And I kind of was able to tell, I'm building a good momentum. Mm. This is going to be a record that if I land it a certain way, is going to be helpful. It's going to be useful. It's going to get me closer to where I want to be, which is not freezing and not skinny. And so there's a lot, but it is still, it's just a very pure, I was in a very pure place at the time, you know?
That's interesting you say that, pure, because.
Yeah, I was in a very pure place. It wasn't nothing. I've learned a lot of things the hard way because now I've been rapping 100 years. I mean, The Good Son come out in 2010, it's 10 years later. And in that time I've had everything's been great. All glory be to God. There's been friction and there's been lessons I had to learn the hard way. I mean, at The Good Son time, I thought, yo, I'm never going to have a bad day the rest of my life because I rhyme and I'm nice. Boom. Problem solved. And that could still be the truth. You know, if I get things right, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Definitely. Just as a fan to tell you, that came at a time for me when things weren't so pure for me, as in like I was listening to stuff and I was like, where's it gone? You know, like I kind of experiment on different landscapes, dubstep, electro, whatever it was, and punk, a lot of that, you know, there's some purity in that. Like, these guys don't earn anything, you know, they're going in smashing their guitars and they've got to buy the next one. And like all these rappers out here with grills, that isn't me. So I remember when I heard people like yourself, people like Lupe, people like that were coming out, and yeah, man, and that really stuck home for me. So this is one of them albums. So thank you for that, man. I really appreciate that, man. I really do. Another thing, you did live in the UK. That was another thing, right?
Well, I did a semester in the UK, a semester abroad when I was in college.
Right. Okay.
At King's College of London.
Yes.
And I hooped for the basketball team and we won the London Championship.
Big, big.
Just because y'all are so terrible at ball. Yo, I was nice at ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all are terrible at ball. We would have won the whole UK Championship. We went to the Final Four of the UK Championship.
Damn. But
every time I got on the court, they blew the whistle because they were like, this cat ain't even from out here. You're not going to have him winning the UK Championship off this cat. Not even that I was hooping. It's just all off putbacks. I would just wait till people miss shots and put them back up. That's all I did. But that's what I remember. But I was smoking mad weed and drinking like crazy, drinking all the cider. I don't even know. I think I started losing my hair when I was in London. I was 2-pound cheap alcohols. I'm like, yo, you can just go to the store and get a 2-pound whatever. Yeah. I was out of control.
And then yes.
But so that's the first time. But in 2012, I spent an extended period of time in London. It wasn't 2012. It was 2011.
Okay.
Yeah. And I got great peoples over there that I truly love. I truly love my peoples, Jenny. I truly love Maestro, who I know you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I truly love Aladdin. I truly love my brother, K Knight. I always like going back to London.
Man. What do you miss? What do you miss, mate?
What do I miss? I kind of feel like in New York, there's a little like, because London ain't perfect. New York definitely ain't perfect. I get tired of New York because so much of what's New York, I'm not into, because there's a lot about New York that isn't authentic and is very showy, and that's not my style. And London has that too. But New York, something about London is a little of the freshness, a little of the flavor. And maybe it could just be that it seemed newer to me though, because when I go out there, it's new. People sound different, you know what I mean? Just straight up. But there's an element of not trying too hard. In New York, I run into these cats and I'm like, I have noticed that about London, that some of the flavor is not, it don't seem, and I'm not saying I've never come into forced flavor, but in London, but it's hard for me to really think of it, you know, as I think about it now. Yeah. But I mean, I know there's cats that are whack in London. I mean, I assume there are.
Yeah.
And I know that there are, but the cats are not forcing it in London. And maybe it's because it's London and it's like, yo, we got flavor. First of all, London. We was the biggest city in the world before New York existed.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You don't need to come out here and show who we are.
Yeah.
Y'all might have had rap. We could say rap, flip it all the way. Like, I remember going out there and I remember arguing with cats because they wasn't even calling it rap. They was calling it grime or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, this is rap, babe. But they're like, yo, you call it whatever you want. We call it whatever we want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're from New York, but you don't get to tell us what we call stuff. And I was like, all right, no doubt.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, there's been strands to it, man. There's been strands. There is the rap element that is not grime. There is that. Yeah. And, you know, there's some very good rappers just rapping, which is great. And Maestro's, I'm glad you mentioned him, because yeah, man, he's been bringing it for a while as well. So, but yeah, man, well, I was actually going to ask you then to wrap it up before we go. You've had as you said, blessings. You've had a great career. It's just getting better, I feel. Is there anything you really want to tackle? Is there a sound you want to tackle? Is there anything on the agenda you really want to do?
I was with my brother, I Am Many, the other day playing for him some of my new joints that are not out. He was talking to me about how for a little while, because, you know, I feel like I'm evolving as a person, you know, and that's what my art is just a representation of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like, you know, I talk about the good son and, you know, there was some natural energy and hopefulness and optimism and idealism in some of my earlier records that wasn't in my later records. You know what I mean? Like there were times when I listened, I don't hear as much fun in certain records as I was hearing in other records.
Mm.
I feel like now, having gone through some of the things that I've gone through, having learned some very important lessons, I feel like I have an opportunity to make some art that is indicative of those lessons, but still includes some of the fun and the learning that I had beforehand.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that I've done that yet. I would like to do that. That's what I'm working on doing, because I look back to my early career and I was like, I had the right idea about certain things that I later lost sight of. I had the right idea. Mm-hmm. And here's a bunch of other stuff that I had no idea about. And I, you know, the combining the two of those, but it's not even a stylistic thing, you know, because stylistically, it's always the same thing. I want to do what I haven't done yet. You know what I mean? Stylistically, I want to do what I haven't done yet. And it's going to occur to me, because when I sit down and I write to this Iman Omari joint, stuff is going to come to me that sounds like something I did yesterday. And that's all going to get, it's not going to catch until something is new. So stylistically, I want to do everything I haven't done. And there's not enough time in the world to do that. So I'm going to just do it till I die. But thematically and energy wise, after, you know, Don't Feed the Monster, I do feel like I've got this monster in a headlock like I never did before. So now I got the monster in a headlock. I'm not feeding the monster.
Mm.
Now I got the monster in a headlock. I know the monster's there. I know I could keep a mind of the monster.
Mm.
You know, on Dusty, the monster was eating. On Dusty, the monster was fat. You know what I mean? And that was the monster's record. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But you know, it's all part of my journey.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But on the energy tip, I want to keep this monster in a headlock now that I know it's there, and be my best artist, be my top, learning the lessons that I learned, using the lessons that I learned from Ace about working out, using the lessons that I learned from Edon about precision, and you know, learning what I learned from Q about about Frio Freedom. Yo, big shout to my boy Quelle about freedom. You hear his vocalization on the joint and how he's he feel like he Barry White in there. He get in there, he sing with the confidence, like he's like, yo, I can sing, I can do whatever I want. Baby. Next level. Artists, we make art.
Yeah.
And he told me that. He's like, yo, you can do whatever you want. And he's right, you know?
Yeah. Man, that is a freeing end to this. Just like, I feel like, yeah, man, you can. And he is proving it, and you are proving it, you know, it, absolutely. So actually, just then, you were saying there, like, you know, you go and earlier you were saying, like, you write and you write and you write and you get a lot of things. Is there anyone you maybe pass these things to before you lay them down? Like, is there a friend or a peer or family where you might be like, yo, just check this. What do you think to this before you lay it down? Or do you more like, nah, I'm going to just do this?
Well, there are a couple of people that I think, you know, maybe I'll call us the French club, you know what I mean? Because I use it as, you know, I brought up the French thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like and I'm super duper, like, if you'd have told me as a kid that I would, you know, I'm not, there are some, you know, everybody know I rock with Ace, you know, so
for sure.
Ace, you know, I love to share stuff with Ace, you know. I get to share my stuff and I get to have share with me some stuff from some of the greatest rappers in the world to ever live, you know what I mean? Before it comes out. It made me feel crazy, man. Sometimes I look at my phone and I see it's all for me, man, because I despise name droppers.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But, yeah.
But I know that's not what you're looking to even conjure. Yeah. But I will just say that I got one rhyme about I'm still Black Thought's biggest fan, just now I could call and tell him. So at that time I had Black Thought's phone number, but I don't anymore. Like, you know, I wish I could send Black Thought some stuff and hear some stuff from him. But,
yeah.
You know, he not part of my French club, but hopefully one day he is, you know what I'm saying?
But it's nice to know you have a support network or a network, you know, you can bounce off, because I find that just really interesting to know if people
actually
have
I'm
that.
Sorry, can I stop you for a second?
For sure, absolutely.
I will tell you the members of the French club that people are not gonna be like, oh wow, he knows this person. Yo, Moses Rockwell is a member of the French club. He's stupid nice. Okay. He's a member of the French club. And there are other ones, but just big shout out to my brother Moses.
Love that. Big up Moses, man. Thank you. So bro, before you go, I wanted to just hit you up with the last question we usually ask everyone, but I think you might have answered it. What is the last great piece of music you heard? Could be old, could be new, but just something you heard and last year, that was great.
Shoot, yesterday I was listening to Don't Leave Me This Way. Was it Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes?
Oh,
Teddy Pendergrass.
Yeah.
In the Morning Time. And I love that so, so, so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yo, the new Pharoah Monch record, the 13 joint. Yo, Pharoah Monch is the best. Cat, you know, and that's a fact. I listened to that 13 joint. I'm so blown away at what this cat is doing. You know, it's mind boggling on a lot of different levels. You know, and big shouts to Daru Drummer and Marcus. My brother who's playing Marcus Machado. You know, the music is great, but Pharoah is a mind blowing. So I listened to that recently, you know, so I'll say those two, you know, Harold Melvin, but the new Pharoah.
Something different.
It's special. Yeah,
something
yeah.
different, bud.
I mean, for a writer, I mean, it's a writer's paradise, you know, it's a playground. Mm. It's a playground for somebody who loves to discover something new every time they listen. I mean, it's a playground.
Yeah. For someone who loves lyrics, do you ever visit a lot of like just that non-lyric based hip hop? I know Madlib bought a new album out, but do you rotate that a lot?
I've listened to a couple of the, you know, with the cover, the black and white cover. I've listened to some of those. And you know, earlier today I was listening. There's a couple of joints on the new Alchemist tape. That I really liked as well. So yeah, I listen to all different types of, I'm not always just, you know, trying to, you know, listening to Pharoah is like, I got to be intent with it. You know, sometimes I'm doing the dishes and want something on in the background. I'm not listening to the new 13 while I do the dishes, even though that's not even true, because it also works on that level.
Yeah.
But I still listen to Ultra Mag joints. You know, I love Cool Keef. I love his personality. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like,
for sure.
But you know, I don't think it is. I mean, but even as I say that, you know, there's very important elements. I don't know if I listen to anything that I can't learn from to some degree, actually. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Angel, man, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the music. Yeah. If there's anything else you want to plug, hit us up. Doors are always open for your second appearance, man, because it's been so much fun. You've lifted my spirits, man, really. So,
as you have mine, man, I appreciate you having me on. You know what I'm saying? Big shout, you know.
Thanks
for helping spreading the word, yo. Peace
thank you, bro.
Yes, yes, you're rocking with the best. This is the one and only Just Blaze. Right now, you're checking out the Crate 808 podcast. Remember to hit up crate808.com, like, comment, subscribe, and all of that. Peace.
Well, there you go. Angel, aka Homeboy Sandman, in the house. Just such a great deep dive chat into his career. We didn't even get to touch the tip of the iceberg on some of those records he's brought out, but hopefully we can get to them in the next one. Man, killed it. Go check out Don't Feed the Monster. Go check out his other records. For us, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching on YouTube. Please subscribe. Please hit the like button. Hit the comments. You know all that good stuff. Hit us up on our socials, crate808.com for all the good stuff. And you can email us at crate808@gmail.com. Get involved in the mailbag. Give us some of your takes on hip hop at the moment and just generally any of the questions we pitch out there. And yeah, man, also our merch. Crate808.com has got the t-shirts. It's got the hoodies. We might have a few prints on the go as well for our artwork, which I know people love. So yeah, go check that out as well. And yeah, peace out, man. Peace out. Boom.